Say hello to the most ghetto podcast in America, the Rapids Thugcast. All right, hello, welcome to the Rapids Thugcast, the dirtiest podcast in football, according to FC Dallas fans. And the official podcast of BurgundyWave.com, SB Nation's home for the Colorado Rapids. My name is Chris White, better known as Ooze. I am the managing editor of Burgundy Wave, and I'll be hosting this train wreck. With me is Bulldog Ben, my assistant editor. How are you doing, Ben?
I'm raging right now, Chris.
You're raging right now.
I'm raging.
And we'll find out why in a minute, I'm sure. And Jed is here as well. Jed Bertram, my moderator.
Yes.
Who is usually sleeping through the Rapids games, I find.
Uh-huh, most of the time. Yep. I catch the highlights later.
All right, anyway, first topic of discussion, I think we all know what we're raging about. Chivas USA player Marcos, none of us know how to pronounce this, so we're going to butcher it terribly. Marcos Mondaini was suspended. For four games and fined $1,500 Thursday for his foul on Javier Morales from Real Salt Lake. And normally we wouldn't be too torn up about this, except for that whole Brian Mullen incident that happened earlier in the season.
Mm-hmm. I think we all remember that Brian Mullen incident?
I heard he did something to some guy, Steve Zakuani or something from Seattle. Well, he got fined 10 games and $5,000, and the MLS Disciplinary Committee, really their reasoning for that, the discrepancy between the two fouls, seems to be Mullen was angry at the time.
Yes. We don't like anger.
Anger is bad.
Anger is a terrible thing, guys.
It leads to the dark side.
I think it's fear leads to anger, and then anger leads to hate.
Yes. And then hate leads to the dark side.
That's right.
Something leads to suffering in there. Either way, at this point, I'm pretty sure Mullen is a dark Jedi at this point.
Yeah, in the eyes of MLS.
A Sith Lord. A Sith Lord Mullen. That's a Tifo.
Because his 10 game suspension tied the longest suspension.
No, it is the highest before that had been 9 games for Ricardo Clark from Houston. He kicked Carlos Ruiz while he was lying on the pitch injured. That was 9 games. So the highest suspension in the history of the league went to Mullen for that tackle, which was from the side near the ball.
Yeah.
Just because it was angry.
Yeah.
That's very strange. I don't know. I kind of feel like kicking someone while they're down is way worse than making a tackle and injuring someone.
Honestly, right now it looks like they've made the Mullen tackle. They've set a precedent that was the worst tackle in the history of the league.
Jeez.
Right.
Even though it was from the side and near the ball. I'm not saying he was going for the ball because obviously he was in enraged mode, similar to us right now.
Right.
Yeah.
I'd still be going for the ball, though. The tackle from Mullen in all other circumstances, seemed to be a standard sliding tackle from the side, which in all other circumstances is a completely legal and okay move to do. Like, slide tackles happen. This one was just clumsy and mistimed, and it ended up, you know, breaking his leg, and he went in really hard on top of that. So,
And I think it was also partially just because it was like what he was like his body language right before he got up and did it, because you could kind of see him get upset when
he got ghost fouled right before that. So that's why everyone was saying, "Oh, he was enraged. The rage took over him.
Yeah,
the rage took over, and he said, I must kill Steve Zakuani, no matter what the cost.'"
That's about the story that we keep getting told. But I for one, don't agree with that. I think that he went in really hard because he was frustrated, but I don't think he went after his legs because he was frustrated.
Yeah, no,
I think he went after the ball and caught his legs and went in hard because he was frustrated. So this particular one from Mondaini.
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 Just call him Marcos.
You know what? He doesn't really...
Marcos.
I don't know if he really deserves to have me pronounce his name correctly, but... I hadn't heard of him before yesterday, and the only thing I get to hear about him is that he snapped Javier Morales' leg, or ankle.
It was
rather.
His ankle, yeah.
Yeah, his ankle. So,
well, look at the Mondaini tackle, though. It was far worse than the Mullen tackle in pretty much every sec. He came in from behind, two-legged,
right, which is actually,
went
which
for
is
the foot. The ball
yeah.
wasn't
yeah.
even near him.
And that's it was way move. More that's intentional looking than Brian Mullen's, in my opinion.
Right. But the tackle a tackle from behind, two-footed, is an illegal move. That is an automatic red card rejection mm-hmm. under normal circumstances. Again, under normal circumstances, Brian Mullen's tackle would not have been considered a foul. Under normal circumstances, if he didn't collide with Zakuani's mm-hmm. leg. But even the attempt at such a tackle is an issue when you come in from behind with 2 feet up. I mean, that's a huge issue. And what MLS has done with this is really just fail in their duty to be consistent and fair in their application of discipline. If you're going to be consistent and fair, you have to say, if you want to come down really hard on these sorts of tackles and go after Brian Mullen and say, okay, this was a hard tackle, which I don't think anyone denies that it was a hard and reckless tackle. So if you really want to come down on those and say, okay, the standard for MLS is, you know, a 10 game is a nine game.
Yeah.
A 9-game additional suspension in addition to the 1-game suspension for the red card. What they've done in essence is say like, all right, well, if it's done against a Seattle player, it's a 9-game suspension. If it's done against an RSL player, it's a 4-game suspension.
Mm-hmm.
I saw on Facebook somebody, they said that part of the reason that Mullen got suspended the extra games is because he made, quote, smart-ass comments after the game was over, which is the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
That is one of the, you can't.
I mean...
If you watched the video of the, like, if you read just the plain text, yes, the comments kind of came off as snarky.
Right.
But I said at the time, if you watch the video, he's got tears in his eyes.
Yeah.
He's obviously shooken up about the whole thing. And I said this to many Seattle fans after the incident happened. I said, you can't take words that are said in the heat of the moment after a terrible situation as gospel.
Right.
Yeah.
Because if you
exactly.
do that, I remember right after John Lennon had been shot, they talked to Paul McCartney and they said, "How do you feel about your best friend of your life being shot?" He was like,
"It sucks.
Oh, it's a bugger, ain't it?"
Yeah, it's.
And everyone's
it's
like, "Oh, Paul McCartney doesn't care about John Lennon."
Right. I think.
And since then, Mullen has come out and he's been like, "Yeah, that was a stupid thing to say. I'm sorry." He apologized for it. He apologized to Zakuani and. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So honestly, I can't. I have no reason that I can see why they added 6 extra games onto Mullen's.
Fair, yes.
That,
compared to this,
yeah. That I can't understand at all. And also, do you think anyone cares whether or not Mondaini decides to apologize to Morales?
Something makes me doubt that. You know, Mondaini is not even an official MLS player. He's on loan.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah.
So. They probably could have essentially ended his MLS career if they had given him a really long suspension.
Yeah, and another interesting note, you know that hack writer, I'm just going to say that right now, that hack writer for the LA Times, Graham Jones, who decides about, oh gosh, was this like a week or two after the incident itself, that he was going to chime in about Brian Mullen?
Yes, you've shown me this article.
Yeah. Just for those of you who haven't seen it, Jed, maybe you haven't seen it, but there's this mm-hmm. article out there that basically where Graham Jones, who's editor, I guess he's an editor or a contributor to the LA Times, basically mm-hmm. said that Brian Mullen should retire because of this incident, that he ought to retire. And you're just and you're sitting there, you're like, do you even know how this game works?
Works, like, yeah.
But I mean, a lot of this makes me sort of a bit skeptical of soccer in America. There's just the reaction to these sorts of fouls and the misapplication of discipline in the case.
That's
of
what
Colin
I was about to say.
In the misapplication of both. I mean, listen to this. I mean, listen to so that's what Graham Jones said. He should retire. He said he should retire right now.
He just decided that he would get into MLS because the NFL is having a lockout. He's like, oh!
Yeah. That's right. And then there's this, and speaking of NFL, this is the quote. This is the quote from who is this? Rodriguez. What's his name? What's his first name? Rodriguez. The guy who
Juan.
Juan Rodriguez.
Carlos.
it's one of the guys.
Shut up, Jed.
He's one of the guys on the disciplinary committee. He's one of the higher ups.
Yeah, he's the guy who made Nelson Rodriguez.
Nelson Rodriguez. He made this really stupid statement where he tries to discuss the difference between the two tackles, and you can't because it's alignable, and the tackle from Mondiani, much worse. Mm-hmm. If you ask any soccer player, that one was a worse tackle that was probably more likely to result in an injury to Morales.
Yeah, I would say that it doesn't look as hard as Mullins, but it looks so much more intentional and much more.
And he was going straight for his feet. He was going straight at his feet. The ball was like 5 feet in front of Morales. But I'll just point out the stupidity here.
The only two things he said.
Yeah, during this discussions, the committee characterized Mondiani's tackle as late, clumsy, and from behind. Rodriguez said. It was also, however, seen as an attempt to prevent his opponent from scoring. Brian Mullins' tackle on Steve Zakuani last month did not serve such a purpose. Rather, it showed utter disregard for his opponent's safety and appeared to be driven by anger. Now,
Everything's legal if you're stopping a scoring chance.
What I want to point out is stopping a scoring opportunity does not make that better. It makes it worse. Like, you also stopped a scoring opportunity, so of course you get a red card for the reckless tackle. Also, you stopped a scoring opportunity. And also, he's talking as if these things are mutually exclusive. You know, like, at a hard tackle out of anger cannot be done if he's also trying to prevent a scoring opportunity. No, he did it in anger. He could have done it in anger and frustration. He just also prevented a scoring opportunity. So
if you watch the build-up to that play, Mondiani is trying to tackle Morales for about 20 seconds before that happens, and failing miserably at marking him.
So,
like, he's like hacking at Morales' foot for a couple of times before he finally says, "You know what? I'm gonna slide all in here."
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And just to point out, I mean, we're not Real Salt Lake fans by any stretch of the imagination, but
oh, certainly not.
But I mean, we are.
MLS,
I think,
for RSL.
Yeah, no. I think you maybe throw up in my mouth a little bit. I think we are all fans sort of fair play and the proper application of discipline where it's necessary.
Mm-hmm.
And that was simply misapplied. It was a misapplication of discipline in both cases. In either one or the other case. I would make the case that the misapplication was the 10-game ban on Mullen. That was a misapplication done out of basically out of response to Seattle fans. I mean, that's how I feel about it.
That's how I feel about it, yeah. I feel like there's definitely more people out for blood.
Like, it's either...
for Brian Mullen. I mean, just reading posts on Burgundy Wave alone right after it happened, like, before the game was even over. Like,
that one Seattle fan who came over and was like, "It's a good thing nobody cares about your shit-eating blog, because I was going to come over here and talk some shit with you guys."
Yeah.
And that was, I mean, does anyone see the irony therein? I mean, you are talking shit. So,
yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
Clearly, he's an idiot. Clearly that didn't stop you.
Oh, my God.
Instead, he took the opportunity to make fun of the blog and talk shit.
Mm-hmm. You know, two
Zexter, okay, I think we've covered that enough. Our rage will not be quelled. We could probably fit a 6-hour podcast just out of talking about this.
You're right. Okay. We need to.
I think that the Rapids, I don't know for sure, but I'm pretty sure that we're at least in the top three of the most injured teams in the MLS right now.
Most injured, and actually, just to pull up the stat, we are in the top six for most fouled teams. It sort of gets a little muddled. I mean, out of 9 games, we've suffered 124 fouls.
Wow.
So,
obviously, not all the injuries have been caused by fouls. Like, Connor Casey's hamstring injury had just been hanging him the whole season.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And right. But there's a few. And Omar Cummings actually got called for a foul on that 50-50 ball that injured him against Lowell Palmer.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Which I found was strange. Even the Houston announcer thought that was strange.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't see a foul committed
there. Yes,
but
when you figure out that, you know, that MLS hates Colorado, it makes a bit more sense. Like, it only makes... Yeah. It only, like, honestly, I wish that in a that I lived in a world in which conspiracy theories that MLS hates Colorado made things like make less sense, you know? It's
like, yeah.
Like that.
Well, how else do you explain
the Drew Moore foul? These sort of invisible calls that start happening, or a call.
Well, just
that,
the whole ref.
Injured.
What is his name?
Baldomero Toledo.
Yes, Toledo. Yes.
He's just good in general, though. He does that to every team.
Oh, he reigns on the just and unjust alike. That is Baldomero Toledo.
Yes. Yeah. Anyway, the Rapids are certainly one of the most injured teams in MLS right now. So many players have missed man games for the Rapids. Wells Thompson missed from food poisoning. Niasse had a back injury.
No, and
Marvell Wynn had a quad injury. Caleb Folon and Cummings are both out right now. Yeah. Casey missed so many games in a row with that hamstring injury coming back for DC this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that we haven't gone 0-6, I think, is a miracle in the last six games.
No, yeah, it's been incredibly tough. I mean, we've been playing second stringers, even third stringers, like people who we normally wouldn't even see, even if the first guy was out. You know, like
Andre Akpan is technically the sixth string striker.
Yeah, and you know what? He's been making his case, and that's a pretty good thing right now. Is that he's been making his case for why he should be higher up on the depth chart. Like his,
I called us before the season started the deepest team in the league at striker, and I think that Andre Akpan is part of the reason why.
Yeah. And he, correct me if I'm wrong, was he not the most dangerous player for the Rapids against the Revs?
Oh, most certainly. He was the only.
I say he was the most dangerous player on the field, like overall.
Benny Failhaber looked pretty good, and he should have scored on that header that hit the crossbar.
Yeah, that's true.
That should have ended 1-0. Yeah, no, I made the man of the match for that game. I believe Marvell Wynn, just because he looked so good game in.
Yeah.
Or the entire game, he played fantastic defense, and he made fantastic runs forward playing right back, which was his natural position.
Yeah.
But the actual blogger for the Bent Musket, which is the SB Nation's New England blog, came over. He was like, my man of the match is Akpan, no question, because he's the only guy who looked dangerous for you guys all game long.
Well, you know, Marvell Wynn and looking – I mean, he's a defender. Looking dangerous is a bonus, but, I mean, looking dangerous is exactly what Akpan needs to be doing and what any striker needs to be doing. So he definitely –
Well, what I liked about his style of play that game was that he was taking chances. That's one thing that I get frustrated with a lot with the Rapids sometimes.
We tend to
pass like all
it.
The setup that goes, and a lot of passing, a lot of support that winds up going nowhere. And he was, he was taking shots from distance, just first touch shots, and I don't know. I like that.
I predict Akpan will get a goal this weekend simply because he'll be paired with Connor Casey up top.
Yeah.
Assuming that Amarikwa doesn't get the start. Oh, I hope not. If Akpan Casey gets up, I pointed this stat out in an article a few days ago. When Connor Casey has played, Connor Casey's only played a couple of games, but the Rapids have scored a ton of goals in the games that he has played, and not very many in the games that he has not. Here's the stat: they've scored 7 goals in the 2 games that Casey has appeared in, and 4 goals in the 6 that he hasn't.
Wow!
Wow! Yeah.
Wow.
So when people tell me that Connor Casey is an overrated striker and he just hobbles around the field doing nothing, I don't think so, Tim. He's the missing Pablo Mastroeni was terrible, but missing Connor Casey might have been worse in retrospect for such a long time.
Also, he's a huge part of the team.
Interesting stat. Even without Connor Casey, the Rapids are, I think, still – yeah, maybe Philly. I think it's Rapids and Philly are the most efficient teams at converting chances.
It's the Rapids. They're still winning that particular stat contest with, I think, 18.6%. OptiJack posted that stat a few days ago, I remember.
Yeah. I think Philly maybe is there as well. I mean, Philly's got 23 shots on goal and 6 goals. And we've got 82 we got 30 shots on goals and 11 goals.
Was it shots on goal or scoring chances, though?
I usually look at shots on goal as scoring chances, but that's neither here nor there.
Yeah, it's with shots. Yeah, 18% of their shots, 11 goals, and OptiJack's defining word was expert.
Nice. Thanks, OptiJack.
I love OptiJack. Just random stat and then defining word at the end.
And that is, I mean, really what sort of, I mean, it's speaking to the depth of the team, but also to the style and the, and just, I, that is what we do. Like, we convert an incredible amount of our chances into goals. Like, we don't have as many chances. Like, we don't take as many shots as other teams. I mean, pretty clearly, we are, let's see, we're probably one of the lowest in the league for shots taken. We are way down. We are down.
Oh, certainly, yeah.
We're like third to last, right next to RSL, actually, but they've played three fewer games. And we've got 30 shots on goal and 11 goals. So, I mean, we're looking.
Any bad at all.
You know, another statistic.
Quality shots.
Another statistic that really strikes me is people talk about the Colorado offense all the time, and when the Colorado offense is struggling, people say, "Oh, Colorado, they're never going to make it. Their offense is struggling." But the Rapids defense right now is holding a one goal per game average against.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's
Pickens has been a beast.
That's incredible. Yeah.
Pickens has been a beast, and also I think Wynn and Moore has been incredible.
Yeah.
Moore is pretty much the. I mean, he's played every single league game.
He has not missed a match since he joined the team.
Yeah. He's one of my favorites. I love that guy.
According to the Castrol Index released today, he's the best player on the Rapids.
Yep.
I mean, I wouldn't doubt it. I mean, he, especially during, there was that Seattle game where he went down to 10 guys. I mean, he really stepped up in a lot of different ways. And one of the ways I saw that he stepped up is he actually went all the way up the pitch. Like, Moore actually started playing almost a striker role. Like, he was even ahead of the midfielders, like when we were pushing to get the equalizer, which we didn't get. But yeah, I mean, he's been really motivated this year, and it's been good. I mean, I remember when he first came from FC Dallas, like, I wasn't too impressed. I was like, who is this guy? He's like got these chubby cheeks walking in, and all of a sudden I was like, he's like carved from wood. Like, he's like, he's got this grizzled beard.
Yeah, that's true. That's hilarious.
No, he's 36th overall in the Castrol Index from April, so. In April, he had an 8.06 player rating total.
Yeah.
And which is a fantastic player rating, considering the highest that they go on this is 9.2.
Right. That's pretty crazy. And there's
I do love our defense. I love that Wells Thompson is not a starter. Because I think he's amazing. I mean, I'd love to see him start more
anyone
often.
Anyone else want to talk about Pal Gutta scoring a goal?
I would rather not talk about Pal Gutta scoring a goal.
Like,
I was at the Pioneer watch party for that game, and I was with a few people from the Rapids, and when Pal Gutta scored that goal, we all looked at each other and said, "What?" And then we rubbed our eyes, and we all checked the Rapids Twitter account to make sure
it was Scott.
That the cameraman wasn't screwing up and showing the wrong person. But you know what? I don't even give Pal Gutta credit for that goal. That goal was created by Caleb Folon.
Yeah, and also Amarico was kind of getting in the way, but also I think he did a good job. He did a good job of shielding. Like, he does this really good thing where he's very good at actually shielding someone off the ball. And he does this. I saw him do it a lot during one particular scrimmage where Emery got a goal. Again, I think it might have been LA or somebody, and he was just shielding him. Like, it was good. He always gives people enough time to take their shot, and it happened to be Pal Gutta who got a pretty good shot. I mean, that was not bad.
Folon's assist to him, though, it kind of looked like Connor Casey's goal in the final last year.
Yeah.
Just on his back, just a little tip knock over right to Pal Gutta's foot, and gave him plenty of time for the low shot. So.
Yeah. And it was a nice,
I guess
nice
fair play to Pal Gutta, but I still never want to see him play again. I don't care. I don't care if he was the hero of the Dynamo game.
He was.
He's still the worst defender on the team.
I still think that Jamie Smith's people aren't giving Jamie Smith enough credit for that really nice free kick. Like, that was like it was this perfect curve. It was this perfect curling slow ball like into the net. It just goes.
But if Tally Hall had not been 6 yards off his line, that wouldn't have been a goal.
I know.
That was completely Tally Hall's fault.
But what a lovely
it was brilliant of
it was funny.
Had Hall not been off his line, we would have all been saying, "Oh, that was a bad free kick." Because it was right to Tally Hall.
It was right to, went right to him. Yeah, it was right to his net.
All right. DC United coming up this weekend on Saturday.
Yep.
A little bit of history once again. Colorado has not won a game in RFK except for once since 1999. That one win came last year off of your homeboy, Mehdi Bellucci, scoring a goal, Ben.
Guys, and, I don't know that. Come on.
Just
greatest player to ever wear a Rapids uniform.
I know. Greatest player on the Red Bulls right now. I don't know why he's not starting up top at striker for them.
Oh my god.
They have this other guy named Thierry Henry who I'm not convinced. Not convinced.
He's the best on the Castro Index for April. If that means anything.
No, it means nothing. It means about as much to me as, it means to Real Salt Lake fans who are like, this is BS because none of our players are on this.
Yeah, list. It's like, what, five Earthquakes players above the first Salt Lake player?
Yeah.
Because the Earthquakes have looked so dominant this year.
They really have. They really are.
Letting Vancouver score in stoppage time yesterday, I remember.
You know what? Let's not make fun of a team for letting another team score in stoppage time.
Why? It helps relieve the pain.
I guess so.
When we play Salt Lake again, we can start getting made fun of again for that.
Yeah, every single time. Every single time.
I'm so surprised that the CCL wasn't won by an offside to Spindle a goal with his hand. I completely expected an offside to Spindle a goal with his hand.
Right, I was
just like a Thierry Henry hand of God sort of thing.
But speaking of teams that actually have won the CONCACAF Champions League, DC United.
Nice segue.
Oh, what was that? Are you a Swazo?
Are you a Swazo? I should make that the logo for this podcast. That picture of me staring at Swazo's head.
All right. So DC United.
So DC United.
What can we say about DC United?
They have Charlie Davies.
They have more goals than us.
They have the leading goal scorer in the league right now.
Yep.
They
embarrassed the shit out of us last season at home.
They did. They really did. That was
more the fault of Gary Smith starting Wells Thompson, Danny Earls, and Scott Palguda.
And Quincy Amariqua.
The L shape of misfortune that was.
Yeah. Fortunately, we won't be start. Actually, we might be starting a patchwork squad like that against DC this time, in RFK, which is never easy.
No.
Would a draw be an acceptable outcome for this? Do you think?
No.
No, you wouldn't accept a draw.
No.
I want
to
win.
I
really think that we need a win. We need to start being as dominant as we were at the beginning of the season. I think a 1-0 win would be fine.
I think getting a win with Connor Casey in Connor Casey's first game back would be a huge deal.
Like, what's important to me is 3 points and a clean sheet. Like that's what I'm looking for. I don't care if we win by one or if we win by two or by a million. It just has to be clean sheet and 3 points against DC United. Would be huge. I mean, that victory against Houston was a big boost for everybody, for the team. I think it really bounced people back because it was. I mean, it was a patchwork squad as well. Like even during the Houston game.
Well, yeah, we had Scott Palguda.
Yeah, and we can still win though. I mean, that's sort of the point. Is that
that's how you know it's a patchwork squad is Scott Palguda.
If Scott Palguda is in.
Against the New England Revolution, I still love the statistics so much. Only four players from the original opening day starting 11 were starting against New England.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Four! And then we had one guy who was also in the starting 11, Kosuke Kimura, playing the midfield.
Yeah, which is, you know what?
And we had Marvell Wynn playing a different defensive position than he's used to.
Never a good idea to have Kosuke playing at midfield. I mean, he works so hard, but I like him at right back. I mean, he's... Mm-hmm. No one tends to come down his side. Like I noticed, they put a lot of pressure down our left backs. You know, usually like
that's where Anthony Wallace is, or Scott Palguda. So
they usually like to go down that way. They don't like to go around Kimura because they know that he's a worker and he'll get the ball from them when it gets to their feet. Like he's not going to win the aerial battle, but he'll get it from them at their feet.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't hate Koske at right midfielder only because his service is pretty darn good for a defender.
Yeah. No, he's definitely worked on that. I remember when Gary Smith first started playing him, I was like his crosses were terrible, but now quite decent, sometimes turning into goals.
Hey, one of his crosses wound up being a goal in the playoffs
San Jose match. That's actually the exact same goal that John Bush let in last night against Vancouver.
And you know what? Also the exact same goal that Breck Shea scored a while ago.
No, that was like from 60 yards further out. Koske was at least near the box when he let loose that cross.
We did it first.
We're trendsetters.
Like that's just it. I almost feel like FC Dallas is just following on our coattails. You know, we beat LA, then they beat LA, and it's like a big deal. We announce we have this huge player announcement, which is actually not that huge at all. It's actually just signing Connor Casey to a longer contract. They have
they
a huge
Breck Shea.
They do it with the same thing with Breck Shea. Like every time we do something and then FC Dallas does it, it's like, oh my God, Dallas did it. God.
Well, maybe. Well, if Dallas wins the cup this year, then we'll know they were just copying off our coattails.
Yeah. Good luck, Dallas. Good luck.
Especially if they win off of an own goal off of George John somehow. if they can find a way.
If you know, where there's a will, there's a way. So
maybe George John will just score. I don't know. We'll do some game predictions
okay,
here.
I predict Connor Casey will get a goal. I predict Connor Casey will get a goal on his first time back.
I'm predicting a 2-0 win. I think Connor Casey and Andre Akpan will both score a goal. Matt Pickens in the defense. I heard Anthony Wallace might be back for this one.
Okay.
He was on the bench the last two, so he obviously wasn't terribly injured.
Well, he's getting rested, so I mean, that's good.
So we'll have the full back four back. We'll have, at the very least, one of our two top strikers back. We won't be forced to go full on Amariqua. Something like that.
I like how that sounds. You're going full on Amariqua.
Full on Amariqua.
Full on Amariqua. Man, you know what, though? Amariqua had some great games at the beginning of the season.
Yeah, he looked very good against Chivas, but that was against Chivas.
Well, no, I think he looked good.
And he looked good against Portland, but that was against Portland. Portland has looked like terrible on the road.
Portland's not bad, terrible on the road.
At home. They're great at home. But on the road, they have yet to figure it out.
Again.
And especially that first game, they just looked nervous and unhappy to be there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, Ben, give me a game prediction.
My prediction is I'm thinking a 1-0 win to the Rapids. And again, I'm hoping for a clean sheet and 3 points. So my prediction is going to be a clean sheet and 3 points.
Fair enough, Jed.
I'm going to go with a 2-1 win.
Any idea who scores?
Wait, 2-1 win for who?
For the Rapids.
Okay.
Just because I don't know.
Out.
I mean, I have seen, while I think our defense is very solid, I have seen some stupid mistakes.
And especially against DC United.
In past games.
But Paguda won't be playing.
Yeah, but I mean, it's not just Paguda. I mean, I love Pickens to death, but there's some moments where I'm like, what the hell are you doing, Pickens?
That goal he allowed against Seattle was unacceptable.
Yeah, I mean, there's just some instances, you know, and I think we will come out with a win. I'll say Connor Casey gets a goal, and Akpan gets a goal. That's my prediction.
If the Rapids win here, this would be the first time that either team has swept a season series against the other team.
Yeah.
Between DC and Colorado I'm not sure if it's ever happened.
Well,
actually.
No, it's crazy because last year was the streak was broken both ways, right? I mean,
yeah,
they had not won at DSG, and we had not won at RFK for a really long time. So,
yeah, it's 1999 was the last time that we had won in DC, and 2000 was the last time they had won in Colorado, either in Vesco or otherwise.
So yeah, should be a good game. Looking forward to a good game.
It should be a good game.
Looking for no.
Hopefully Charlie Davies doesn't start.
Yeah, well,
he's probably the only offensive player on that team that actually scares me, just because of it.
Pawnee's,
partially because he's so good at.
Wolf isn't that bad, and Wolf isn't bad. Wolf isn't bad. Pontius
isn't
bad.
Pontius isn't bad. No.
Nahar's dropped off a bit from his last year's, you know, breakout form, but Yeah, you never know. He can always contribute.
To be fair, last year he was the only player that DC had.
Yeah, you had Danny Alsop, which was...
Let's not talk about Danny Alsop, because I recall he scored a goal against us.
And it took him, like, what was it, like 30 seconds to settle the ball at his feet, and we're just like, where's it going? Where's it going?
Well, it was Palguda covering him. What do you want? I will keep coming back to this. I hate Scott Palguda, and I will not stop hating Scott Palguda.
Remember that time that he got nutmegged by Colin Clark?
Yes. He didn't get nutmegged. He was just, like, standing there like a stone statue of Scott Palguda, serving the dual purpose of not marking Clark and screening Pickens at the same time. He was like the perfect Dynamo player there. He was the Dynamo MVP.
Hey, Colin, do you want a goal?
You want a goal, Colin, against your former team? Do you really want one? Because you can have one right here. I'll just stand here.
You got it. You got
drool
it.
I also have a prediction for Uzi's potent quotable of the game.
Okay, what's that going to be?
3 V dubs under 20,000.
Review dubs in 26,000. Oh, man. You're bringing back memories of the 07 Rapid season when Armando and I would go to games and then just, like, come back after the game screaming that at people in their cars. Wow, that's, okay, that's a fitting end to this podcast,
yeah,
I think.
So.
a Volkswagen joke. Yeah, that's the way you want to.
I'm done here.
Thanks. Thanks for listening in, everyone. Here with Bulldog Ben and Jed Bertram. I'm Chris White. You can call me Ooze. This has been the Rapids Thugcast, the dirtiest podcast in football.
Should be banned for at least until Steve Zakuani comes back.
Yeah, we're not mm-hmm. going to make another podcast until Steve Zakuani comes back. Because mm-hmm. the MLS disciplinary committee gave me a call, and they said that this podcast is malicious.
Yep, definitely based in anger.
Mm-hmm. And we're too angry. Holy. That's an extra 6 games right there.
Mm-hmm.
All right, that was a terrible way to end it, but we're done. Thanks for listening, everyone.
Toodles.
And I hope you'll all join us next time, whoever all of you may be.
Yes.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, everybody.